Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. There you have it. You heard some highlights and post-game comments from last night's Game 6 of the World Series, won by the Los Angeles Dodgers 3-1. They win the series 4-2, and they are the world champs for the first time in over 3 decades. So congrats to the Los Angeles Dodgers, this group, for finally getting over the hump and getting Clayton Kershaw a ring. But those two things really aren't the big stories this morning when it comes to talking baseball. Number one, still trying to figure out what the hell happened, and we got some comments we'll play a little bit later from Jeff Pass, and we got a lot of comments we're going to play from a lot of people after last night's game. But Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner tested positive for COVID-19 and was pulled from Game 6 against the Rays last night. And, I mean, he was 0 for 3 with a couple of strikeouts, and then he came out of the game to start the 8th inning, and the team didn't give a reason why he left. And then you find out after the game that he left because he tested positive for COVID-19. I don't know what happened or how that happened as far as he was playing and then leaves in the 8th inning. Jeff Passan from ESPN, he reported that Turner had been asked to isolate after the positive test, but that no one stopped him from going on the field to celebrate with everyone. Sources told Jeff Passan that in the second inning, the lab doing COVID-19 tests informed Major League Baseball that Turner's test from Monday came back inconclusive. It's unclear why the results of the test arrived after the game began, as they typically do beforehand. Samples taken from Tuesday arrived at the lab, and Turner's was immediately run, sources said. When it showed a positive, the league called the Dodgers and said to pull Turner. And so Rob Manfred said after the game, "We learned during the game Justin tested positive and he was immediately isolated to prevent spread, or at least until the post-game celebration when he was allowed to go back out there and have at it." And so that was bizarre. And that leaves you to wonder, so what the hell would have happened if there would have been a Game 7? And he had tested positive and played pretty much the whole game. We'll never know the answer to that. That could have been a huge issue for Major League Baseball going into a Game 7 of the World Series. And so lots of people are talking about that and how that happened and what the fallout of that is. And so that's one angle that people will be approaching and discussing. The other one had to do with the game and the now social media war between old school and new school, between people that can't stand analytics and people that swear by analytics. And that irritates me that's what this debate has devolved into, because I don't think you should have to pick sides in that debate as far as analytics or against analytics. I don't think you have to pick sides there in that bigger argument to pick sides in this argument. I don't just because you're an analytics guy, that shouldn't mean that you must agree with what Kevin Cash did in removing Blake Snell from the game too early. All right. Look, I Mike Boddicker, you know, old school baseball guys we talk to that haven't fully embraced analytics. All we ever do is people that appreciate analytics, we just want people to recognize analytics, try to understand them, and see that they can be a useful tool to help in a number of different ways, you know, to help identify player strengths and weaknesses, to help just as a tool to better identify and evaluate players. And I think that most reasonable people see that and agree with that. But at the same time, analytics should not paralyze you from seeing something with your own eyeballs and having a feel for the game and perhaps using common sense. And so that's sometimes when I have a problem with hardcore analytics guys that are unwilling to factor in anything else but the numbers. And first of all, there's human beings out there. We're not playing a video game. So there's lots of different factors that aren't going to show up in analytics. The managers know about, the players have to deal with. It's there's many, many layers here. And again, there's also common sense. And I've heard the arguments, well, this is the way they've done it all year. This is how they get here. Let me remind you, I think we all realize this, regular season baseball ain't postseason baseball. You don't always do the same things you did in the regular season and the postseason. And that's in any sport. It's different. And if there's anybody that can tell me with a straight face, watching Blake Snell last night, that it was the right move to take him out of the game because he was just too dominant, but you didn't want him to face the Dodgers lineup the third time through because that's what the numbers say. If you could say that with then that's what you believe, and I'm not going to argue with you because I'll never understand that. I'll never understand walking out to that pitcher's mound and taking Blake Snell out of World Series Game 6 the way he was dealing. I mean, can you imagine Kevin Cash going back in time in 2004? All right, Bumgarner, you've had enough. All right, analytics say you're out of here. Let's go. I don't care if you're dominating. Yeah, I wish he'd go back in a time machine and do that. Do you know how happy the Dodgers were that they yanked him from the game? Do you know how thrilled Mookie Betts was to see Blake Snell out of the game?
I actually secured some audio from the dugout in the clubhouse.
Let's hear it.
I thought you were gonna play the Lezak snowflake contest. Snell's out of the game. Woo! Come on!
We're gonna play some sound. We're gonna play some clips from Dodgers players expressing their happiness that Snell was taken out of the game. And why wouldn't you?
Joe Buck is,
and
like,
again, it's lazy as you are. They've done it this way all year long. Then you're not paying attention to what's going on right in front of you. The analytics should be an aid. It should be a guide. It should be a tool to help you make better decisions. But it can't paralyze you from using common sense and telling you what's in front of you. Just get a computer program to run your team. Just get a robot with no, I kind of would like that, a robot with no feelings, with no emotions. That's you just get a guy punching buttons from a remote location. I can't believe it. And I was sitting there watching this game, and one of my favorite things to see in sports is when there's a dominant starting pitcher in a huge game, an elimination game, with the whole season riding on his arm, and he's just kicking ass. And you're thinking, wow, we're going to remember this game 6. We're going to remember this pitching performance. That's what it felt like. Whatever happened in game 7, we're going to look back and think, wow, do you remember when the Rays were up against elimination and Blake Snell went out there and just shut the Dodgers down? What a great pitching performance from a former Cy Young Award winner. What an addition to his resume. That was awesome, and he gave us Game 7. And Kevin Cash is like, nope, I'm just going to stop this right now because the numbers say to do this, and this is what I've done all year long, and I'm not going to change for the postseason because the postseason is just the same, and I'm going to do the Dodgers a favor, and I'm going to take a guy out of the game that they cannot touch. I can't believe it. And this is not hindsight. I mean, everyone on Twitter watching this game that was actually paying attention, it's like, nobody, like, what are they doing? What is he doing? And really, honestly, baseball fans got robbed because I wanted to see how far Snell could go with it. I mean, he might have. We'll never know. And we don't get a Game 7 out of it. But, I mean, it's ridiculous. Blake Snell, this is a tweet during the game. Hey, Blake Snell is the first pitcher with 9 strikeouts through 4 innings of a World Series game since Sandy Koufax in Game 1 of the effing 63 World Series against the Yankees. Sandy Koufax finished that game with 15 strikeouts in a complete game effort, 5-2 Dodgers win.
Should have pulled him, though.
Right, if Kevin Cash would have been alive in 63 managing the Dodgers, Koufax would have been out after 5. Blake Snell is the only lefty with at least 9 strikeouts and 2 or fewer in a World Series game ever, but he also did it in Game 2. I mean, Dick Vitale was pissed. Rays fan Dickie V. Chipper Jones tweets, dude has a 9 strikeout, 2-hit shutout with 75 pitches, and you yank him? Fire me. I'm riding my horse. And most of the people defending it are just, it's what they've always done. It's not how you manage in the postseason. And how can you ignore how good he looked? This was different. This was special. You know, sometimes great pitchers or great hitters have great nights, and you don't stand in their way. You let them perform. You let the player decide the game. And it's amazing that he was taken out. 2 hits, 9 strikeouts, just unhittable stuff. And the baseball gods immediately said, screw you, Kevin Cash. And this game, while we were just starting the arguments, the Dodgers took the game and took the lead. And so it's sad because this will be used by a lot of old-school baseball. See, that's why all analytics suck. No, they don't. They absolutely don't. Analytics are, again, great for the game, great for sports, great for a better understanding of whatever sport they're applied to, and they are a useful tool to better evaluate players. But damn it, when you use it as a crutch and you let that paralyze you from making a proper decision based on what you're seeing in front of your eyes play out, then you are wrong. And last night, Kevin Cash was wrong. And they lost the World Series because of it, or at least Game 6. Who knows what would have happened in Game 7? I think Jake agrees, too. Game 7, I think all the pressure would have been on the Dodgers. But again, we'll never find out. Because Kevin Cash didn't let that happen. Nate, Jake, your thoughts before we break on the decision to remove Blake Snell from his dominating start in Game 6 of the World Series?
Well, I pretty much agree with everything you said. I look at a couple points. Number one, you can simplify big decisions sometimes based on what do the people on the other side want to happen? Do they want me to keep this guy in the game? Or, as Jake said, are they going to be playing celebrate if I take this guy out? And that pretty much, because again, as you said, this is a sport played by human beings. And the mental aspect of the game should never be forgotten. And the mental edge that Snell had on the Dodgers versus the mental edge that you handed to the Dodgers by telling them, you can't touch this guy. We're taking him out of the game for you, is number one. Number two is analytics are numbers. And one of the problems I do have with the analytics movement is the element of groupthink that goes along with it. Because there are a lot of numbers. There are almost an infinite number of numbers out there. And the true analytics crowd, like what the Rays have done in many ways, goes against the grain. They find something new, a new way of looking at the numbers to say, hey, you know what? Actually, this is a smarter play here or there. You know what number maybe they should have looked at instead of being hung up on third time through the order? Oh, third time through the order. You know, our numbers tell us the guys get way worse third time through the order. The three guys he was getting set to face for the third time through the order right before he got pulled, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, and Justin Turner were 0 for 6 with 6 strikeouts. The next three guys were 0 for 6 with 6 strikeouts. Guess what? Those are numbers. You could choose to look at those numbers if you wanted to in that situation. You know, so when we talk about analytics, I think sometimes the people that profess themselves to be analytics people, well, this is what everybody's telling me is important right now. So if you don't think this, you're an idiot. And that there's that kind of arrogance that comes sometimes with analytics. And that's not all analytics. There's a lot of different numbers out there, you know, and so that bothers me sometimes about a lot of these things. Well, if you go against conventional wisdom or if you don't follow exactly what we say, right now the big thing is third time through the order. That's what we say is the big thing. So if you don't follow that, you know, that's the only thing you can use as your crutch, as you said. And so that kind of bothers me. But at the end of the day, I just wish that Kevin Cash would have been managing the 2014 World Series. That's all. Because the Royals might have had two.
Wow.
Hey, they used analytics to get to the World Series.
Thank you, my friend.
You know, I mean, that to have a tiny little payroll compared to a team, the Dodgers had, like a 4 times their payroll? They used analytics to be a successful team in a small market in the AL East, which is loaded with big payroll teams. That you are right. Those numbers help them in many ways, and they also hurt them drastically in one moment last night.
You don't manage a postseason the same way you manage
right.
a regular
100%.
Season.
100%.
I mean, okay, Jake, I don't want to hurry. I just finished this. I mean, how in the hell could you take Snell out of the game with the way he was throwing the ball? You yank him after 73 pitches as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, and that'll be a home run, and so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
On that note, let's take a break. Back in the next week. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. And Nate, again, I'm going to reiterate this. It just drives me crazy. Just the argument that a lot of people are falling back on. Well, you can't criticize Kevin Cash and the Rays for that decision because that's the way they've done it all year long. let me ask you guys a question. Who closed out the game for the Dodgers and got the save last night?
Urias?
What did you just call me? It's Urias, so you think my what?
Urias.
Urias.
No, Urias.
Listen to me. Okay.
Urias.
Okay, Urias. How many saves do you think he had in the regular season?
Well, he wasn't the closer, so probably not very many.
He didn't have any.
Ha!
Okay, what did they do all regular season long? In a save situation. What did they do?
And what's Kenley Jansen, right?
Okay, all right. Why didn't he go to Jansen last night?
Probably because he hadn't been that good lately.
But that's what he did all season long. Yeah, that's what he did all regular season long.
Clearly.
So that means he has to do it in the postseason too, right?
Well, he survived that big mistake.
How many times did Madison Bumgarner pitch in relief from the regular season in 2014? How many times?
Probably none. Zero.
None. Well, you can't put him in relief. Why? Well, that's the way we did it all season long. What a ridiculous argument. Well, that's the way we did it all season long. We can't change now in the postseason. Are you kidding me? They're literally leaving Urias in the game. Why? Because he was pitching how? He was dominant. You got Clayton Kershaw out there, you know, loosening up. Wait a minute. He's just going to leave Urias in the ninth inning to close it out. Why is he doing this? Because they can't hit him? Oh. Huh. But is that the role he had all? Is that what you did all season long? No. Why are you doing this then, Dave Roberts? Because I want to win. Okay, thanks. Bye. What am I missing here, Nate?
One of the worst defenses of behavior, of human behavior throughout time to me has been we've always done it this way. Explain to me why. That's fine if we've always done it this way. There might be a really, really good reason why we've always done it this way. So tell me that. Tell me the reason for it. And tell me why it makes sense right now to do it that way. I get over the course of 162 games or even what was the regular season this year? I don't even remember how many games it was this year.
60.
60 games. I understand playing the odds. You know, hey, we might lose right now, but 10, you know, 6 times out of 10 we're going to win in this situation. I understand that. That's one of the things analytics has taught people is that you're playing the odds over the long period of time. When you get to the postseason, there is no tomorrow. You don't get a chance to roll the dice again tomorrow and see if the dice turn out in your favor. So you have to make more of a short-term decision. And the repercussions down the road don't matter if you don't win this game right here. You know, the way your bullpen shakes out tomorrow, all that other stuff doesn't matter if you don't win this game right here. And so, yeah, I don't see how. I mean, gosh, if you're in the NBA, well, LeBron James has always been playing 34 minutes a game all year. So, you know, we gotta bench him here in the fourth quarter for 3 minutes to get his normal rest time. No, they go, you know what? There's 3 games left in the whole year probably, so we're going to play LeBron James. These extra 3 minutes. He's going to play more minutes in the postseason than they play in the regular season. We're going to pitch a guy on 3 days rest in the World Series because, you know what? We need to win the game today.
You're crazy!
So... that is just, you're just arguing to argue. Look, I will listen to people that say, look, there's no guarantee they would have won. I mean, they only scored one run, you know, the whole game. And at some point, Blake Snell might have run out of gas, whatever, he might have given up a run. I don't know. We don't know what would have happened had he stayed in the game. But we know that the Dodgers wanted that result. They wanted him taken out of the game. Every single person in that dugout was like, yes. This isn't like... I mean, like back when the Royals had their bullpen and their best pitchers were all in the bullpen, you would hear players talk about, you know, hey, with most teams, you always say, well, hey, let's wear this starting pitcher down and get to the bullpen. But with the Royals, you don't want to get to their bullpen because your best chance to score runs is probably going to be off their starting pitcher. That's the opposite of what was happening last night.
And let me add this. If Kevin Cash was really, really paying to the numbers, and again, analytics and paying attention to the numbers should have helped him here because Mookie Betts was coming up next. Mookie Betts, slash line against right-handed pitching this year, 323, 385, 677 with an OPS of over 1,000. Against lefties, hit 200 with a 313 OPS, and a 218 slug, a 531 OPS. So, of course, take the lefty out and have him face the righty with the game on the line. Good God, man. Did you hear what I just said?
Well, that goes back to what I was trying to say about analytics.
What is this man doing?
You're crazy.
The numbers even told him to leave Snell in. Nope. So we've done it all year long.
Well, a lot of it has to do with which numbers you decide to look at.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple numbers for you.
Hey.
We will take a break. I don't even know what that means. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Blake Snell will not face top of the order third time around. They saw what happened in the fifth inning. Snell is not saying anything, showing his displeasure. But he is showing his displeasure with a little shake of the head. He is not happy that he is out. He was fantastic tonight. But the Rays are sticking to their analytical guns, if you will, and that is bringing in a new arm third time through the order.
I'm not going to question him. I mean, he's a hell of a manager, so I'm not going to question him. I'll voice my opinion, and, yeah, I can only look forward to, you know, the offseason, what I'm going to accomplish this offseason to get ready to, you know, be the best me I can be for next year. But we came up short, and the only thing you can do from this point is get better and focus on what, you know, what I can do to be better for next year. This year is over with. Congrats to the Dodgers. You know, they played better than us. And they earned it, so good job to them. But I want to be the guy that stays out there as long as I can and, you know, give this team the chance to win every ball game, and it sucks, you know, being pulled.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday hump day, October 28, 2020. Dodgers beat the Rays last night right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Dodgers win it 3-1. MVP of the World Series for the Dodgers, Kevin Cash. A little bit awkward him receiving that award with his team losing, but he still gets it. Mike Boddicker is in studio. Hello, Mike Boddicker. How are you?
I'm just wonderful, Steve.
Look, did you already listen for the first half hour?
Of course I did.
Okay, so look, I mean, I really do try to see both sides of the argument when it comes to analytics versus old school and scouting and trusting your eye and everything else. And I think I'm open-minded to analytics, and I think I'm open-minded to listening to what you have to say and other guys who play the game when they have some issues with analytics. And I'm just honest. I still cannot effing believe they took Snell out of the game. As you're watching it, you're thinking, okay, we're going to see – here's what we're seeing. We're going to see one of these great World Series pitching performances that we'll talk about for years to come. And it's not some guy that's just that doesn't have the pedigree, that's just pitching way over his head. I mean, Blake Snell, he is one of the better starting pitchers in the American League. The kid, when he's on, he's terrific. And that's what I thought I was watching. I'm thinking, he's gonna win this game for him. He's putting him on his unbelievable arm, and he's gonna save the bullpen. And they're gonna go into Game 7 with momentum, and their bullpen rested, and everything else. And when the conversation started to happen that they're not gonna let him face the lineup the third time. I'm thinking, I mean, they did that in the regular season. This is what, they got him here. I understand that, but you don't manage the postseason like you do the regular season. Certainly they're not going to. No way. They're taking him out. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. And I still, I just don't get it. I mean, this, he's a former Cy Young Award winner. This is the guy that you know when he's on, and I don't care what happened in the regular season because you don't manage baseball in the postseason like during the regular season. Mike Boddicker helped me understand this decision last night.
Can't help you. You know me with analytics and sabermetrics and all the other crap. Could see it coming. My phone blew up as soon as it happened. I mean, it was just bing, 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 text after text after text.
But, Mike, if you're paying attention to the numbers, it tells you to leave the left-hander hand to face
like
Mookie Betts.
Like Nate said, it depends on which numbers you look at. That's why I don't look at numbers.
How about the ones that tell you he's way better against right-handers than left-handers? That's pretty simple, isn't it?
It depends on which numbers you look at. I can't do that stuff. I mean, I kind of lost track of the game by the fifth inning when there was 21 strikeouts. I just lose it. I can't deal with it. I just Snell was sharp last night, and 73 pitches. I'm sorry, you can't take your ace out there. You just can't do it. You know, the only thing you were talking earlier during the show about, you know, analytics, how it helps analyze players and you know what? Cardinals do the same stuff, and they analyze that Randy, I can't even pronounce his last name.
Arruzarena.
Arruzarena, or whatever it is. Analytics says that he didn't belong with the Cardinals. I'm sitting there going, you couldn't use that bat? That's one of the best young hitters I've seen in a long time. So analytics got him from the Cardinals to the Rays.
Yeah, but the Rays do a great job of using analytics to evaluate players and find value in working players.
It depends
players.
On their analytics. The Cardinals use the same analytics, people. They have their Harvard, Yale idiots upstairs telling them what to do. They do the same thing. So, come on. It depends on which numbers you want to look at. It's all crap. Use your eyes. It'll tell you if you got a ball player, if you don't have a ball player. Get scouts. The scouts need to be out there. They need to throw their radar guns and their stopwatches in the trash. Look at a player with their eyes. Say, this is a ball player. This isn't a ball player. It's not that tough.
Why can't they do both?
No. What do you need a radar gun for? He can throw the ball across the field at 100 miles an hour. Yeah, but he hasn't thrown one to the first baseman yet. They all end up in the stands. Ooh, he can throw 100 miles an hour. Yeah, he's throwing it off the top of the backstop. Big deal. It doesn't matter if you can't play the game. You can use all this right, everything. Oh, man, he can run the 60 in six flat. Yeah, but he can't get on. That's the problem. Oh, we can teach him to hit. No, you can't. Can't throw a ball from here to the wall. Doesn't matter. He can run. Oh, we're going to sign him. Look for a baseball player. Find somebody who can actually play the game. It's not that tough. It really isn't. You look at what's happening in baseball right now. The ratings, people showing up. Nobody wants to watch this crap. The people that I talk to, and my phone blows up all the time. I can't watch it anymore. It's terrible. I can't. All they do is strikeouts, home runs, and it's like last night with Snell. You know, people are going nuts. How in the heck can you? What would you have done if they'd have tried to take you out with 73 pitches and nine punchouts and cruising like that?
What would you have done?
I'd have snapped.
On the mound?
Right on the mound.
Because you usually don't want to show up your manager like that.
No,
but
you
in
don't.
That moment, you
would
have.
No, I probably would have. In a World Series? Yeah, probably. He was focused too. They showed him in the dugout. He's stretching. He's ready. He's ready to go. He wants to get back out there. You got a guy like that, you leave him out there. He was focused and he was pretty much unhittable last night. There was a couple little hits, but I mean. That can happen. I'm sorry. I don't care what your stats say third time through. When you got a guy dealing like that, and I mean, the three guys he was going to face, he punched out six times. They weren't even close.
But to Nate's point, the numbers, if the numbers tell you to leave him in against Betts at the very least.
Well, the next three guys he was about to face were 0-for-6 with six strikeouts.
Yeah, exactly.
But look at Betts split facing left-handers versus right-handers. It's not that difficult. You're making it more difficult than it needs to be. How does Betts do against left-handers? How has he done against Snell tonight?
It doesn't matter. Third time through. Third time. Their analytics people say third time through, pull him. It doesn't matter. And like I said, you got guys from Harvard and Yale up there, never touched a baseball, never played the game, have no idea. They're up there playing with their computers going, you need to take him out.
But they didn't make the decision. Cash did, and he did play the game.
No, that's on him. He follows everything to the rule. That's the way they do stuff there. And that's one of the reasons I really, you know how I felt about Tampa Bay. how they ran things. I'm sorry, I don't go for it, and I won't go for it.
Do other teams do the same thing that they did in the regular season and the postseason? No.
This is something new for Tampa. They're not going to change. They're not going to change. It depends on who runs the team. You think really Cash runs the team? I don't think he runs the team. It's the people upstairs that run the team. They're telling him what to do. He's a puppet. That's all it tells me is he's a puppet. Either that or he doesn't know a damn thing about baseball.
He's a former major league catcher. You would think he would understand that.
Well, then he's a puppet.
He said after the game he'd do it again.
And he'd lose again.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean,
definition of insanity.
You are crazy.
He's doing the same thing over, thinking there was going to be a change. No, it's not going to happen. No, that's insanity.
Let's take a break and get Mike Boddicker some fresh coffee. Back after this on WHB.
Yeah, I'm about half done here, so yeah, probably.
That's right. No, you're not.
Lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
And guess what? Mookie didn't want to see him a third time either. And he didn't. And so then he doubled, and then later on he homered. So I think Mookie Betts is pretty good with that decision by Kevin Cash. But Kevin Cash didn't even make a decision. He did. It's like he didn't use his brain. He said, well, this is what we do. This is what we're going to do. This is it. No matter what happens, he's not facing the lineup the third time. So I'm going to ignore his stuff tonight. I'm going to ignore everything and just do what I've been programmed to do. Is that wrong, Mike?
Blake gave him a chance to win the ball game, and Cash gave him a chance to lose the ball game. that's what it boiled down to.
And again, I'm going to break my mouse to my computer. I shouldn't do that. I keep saying, well, you can't criticize what Cash did because that's the way they've done it all year long. Then why the hell didn't Dave Roberts put Jansen in to close it out in the ninth? Why? That's what he did all year long. Why not? Why did he leave Urias in the game?
Manage different during the World Series than you do the regular season.
Because he was unhittable last night.
Yeah.
Oh, they can't touch him. I'm going to put – can you imagine – okay, Jake, you're rooting for the Dodgers. What would your reaction have been if they'd have yanked Urias as good as he looked, put Jansen in, he blows it, but Dave Roberts, he's our closer. That's what we've done all year long. So
I mean, you knew as soon as he made the move, that like just like last night, you knew as soon as he took Snell out, you go, okay, I know how this ends. It would have been the same thing. If he would have put Jansen in that game in the ninth, he'd be like, okay, this is gonna be blown.
But he didn't.
If Snell had 100 pitches, 110 pitches, and was struggling at all,
no.
Yeah, that's fine. I understand.
How about 73
that.
Pitches? 73.
73 and cruising, no. Uh-uh. Yeah. Not your stud. Not your number one. You don't do that.
So, 1 minute.
What's Snell ever done in this league besides win a Cy Young?
And my point is that we're bringing up a lot of numbers.
Exactly.
Those are analytics. I was telling Bod, there's a quote from To Kill a Mockingbird where they say
just what Jake was saying in the commercial break. Go ahead.
The Bible in the hand of one man is more dangerous than a whiskey bottle in the hand of another. It's how you apply the information
that's
in the book.
Say that again.
Jake, is that true?
It depends on who
has
who
the whiskey
man
bottle
is.
And who
right.
has the Bible.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends on who's holding the
item. Whoever has a whiskey bottle is probably more dangerous.
I can hit someone with either one of those objects, so I'm good.
That's what I'm saying. A bottle in a book. I'd rather be hit by a book.
There have been hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that have been murdered in the name of the book. You know, it's how you apply it. It's how you apply the information. You know.
Hey, when did this analogy cross the line? There it was. That was Unnecessary.
If it's a plastic bottle.
Yeah. What kind of bottle are we talking?
If it's a plastic bottle, I think I'd rather be hit by the bottle.
Nah. I like even Jake. I don't know if that was in my ear or as soon as Nate said, yep, time to break. And back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. We appreciate it. The show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.